Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV. My name is Brad. Activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater, which is located in Remington, Virginia. The repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association. It uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz to access. If you would like or need more information about the repeater or about FARA in general, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and question and answers regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar topics related to amateur radio activities. No specific discussion topic tonight unless somebody else has something or a question or an anecdote that they'd like to share with the club for discussion outside of your regular round table chat. Give me a call now, N7IVB.
K1HTV.
Good evening, Rich. K1HTV, go ahead.
K1HTV. Just had a thought for technicians. Excuse my voice. I've been facing bronchitis and pollen and sinus problems. But for our technicians, I don't know how many technicians realize that they have privileges to operate on 40 meters and 15 meters and 80 meters. If they're interested, look it up. You may have to learn CW. Go ahead.
Yep, very true. That's one thing that I oftentimes forget when I'm talking about activities and whatnot. Of course, that's back in the olden days, back when I was a novice and many of the rest of us started out back then, where we had no phone privileges at all on any bands. The only thing we could operate was 10, 15, 40, and 80 meters. And even then, just at the lower CW side, so we could only do code. But hey, that's okay. That's a legacy that most of us are proud of. So, yep. And actually, one of the things I was going to talk about tonight is some upcoming activities, and I guess I'll just get right into that. Things going on this week as far as contests. One of the things that caught my eye, first thing next weekend, this weekend, April 23 and 24, all day long, both days, is the 10-10, I guess that's International Spring Contest Digital. 10-10 is a group, club, special interest group, whatever, of people who are actively engaged and motivated to use and promote activities and operating on the 10-meter band. That's it in a nutshell. I'm not a member. I don't know too much about them, but that's their big focus. And they've got a contest coming up this weekend, and it's digital. So, again, 10 meters, technicians and above have privileges. Yeah, 10 meters and above have privileges up there. So, something you might check out. Again, contestcalendar.com is the source for all these types of things. Anyway, there's another contest called QRP to the Field, which I'm not looking up each of these. I'm just running down the list, so I can't really describe too much what they are. But from the title, one can only assume that you're going out to the field with your QRP rig. There's an SPDX Ready contest. There is a Helvetia contest. Helvetia is a digital, old-fashioned digital imaging mode. There is the North American Single Sideband Sprint contest, which is a very short contest, just a few hours. There is the Anzac Day contest. That one might be interesting to keep an eye on. Probably lots of Aussies on the air that weekend. And a couple other things, UA1 Delta Zulu Day Memorial Cup, and the Bartig Sprint 75, BARTG Sprint 75. So, that's the list of contest coming up. All right. Announcements coming up. Let's see, really not much coming up in the next few weeks. We had our club meeting, of course. Next club meeting. Wow. Seems like as soon as we have one, we're ready for another one. The next club meeting will be May 12th. So that should put you out of the realm, you know, past Mother's Day. So with any luck, you'll be allowed out of the house by then when you forget flowers or cards or other expressions of your love for your mothers. I'm trying to think that something may be going on. I guess not. We had a good time. You know what? We need to, I guess, talk about the fox hunt that we had last week. And, well, last Saturday. That was a lot of fun. Somebody will have to remind me how many people we had there. I'm thinking, golly, we might have had pushing 10 teams. And so it was a lot of fun. We'll talk about that as we go. I'm just being notified by my vice president here in the club that I forgot to notify the club in the surrounding area that we had moved the repeater to Remington, as I announced in the opening preamble for the net tonight. Hi. No, the repeater is still located in Warrenton, Virginia, for those of you who are listening and didn't catch my mistake there. So, Remington's a long ways away from Warrenton. Well, as the 2-meter crow flies. Anyway, okay, so fox hunt. Next fox hunt will be July 16th. Yes, July 16th. Also, I haven't gotten final confirmation, but apparently we were also not able to reserve the Path Foundation building room, for our July meeting on our standard for second Thursday. Apparently there was somebody else that had gotten in there. So we will be holding that on the 21st, assuming that they let us have it that day. So pencil in on your calendars, July club meeting on the 21st. Anybody have any announcements I'm forgetting because I'm a little scatterbrained this evening? That's 7IBB. Okay. And, speaking of vice presidents, I'm going to find out where it is. Yes, the 27th, that would be next Wednesday, is Administrative Professionals Day, as it's called now, and has been for the last, I don't know, 20 plus years, I guess. She's more like the boss. I'm just the sidekick, but speaking of my wife, that's not who I was referring to when I mentioned vice president, by the way. But anyway, just something to put on your calendar if you guys have anybody you would like to recognize in your professional lives for that function. Okay, enough babbling. I'll go ahead with regular check-ins. Rich, I've got you on the list already. Anybody anywhere who's licensed, go ahead and check in tonight. This is in 7IBB.
Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Yankee X-Ray, in and out.
Kilo X-Ray 4, Kilo Uniform.
KM4, SPL.
KF4, TDK, no comment.
Okay, I don't know what I was thinking about, but I was not thinking properly. KL4 ? Yankee X-Ray, I think it was. Maybe it was Yankee Zulu, whose voice I recognize, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to give me your call again. KX4KU, I don't know where you are, but your signal sounds like you're mobile someplace down in South Carolina. KN4SPL, Bob, and KF4TEK, nice to hear you, but I got you checked in and out. So, corrections on calls or additional check-ins, this is N7IBB.
Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Yankee X-Ray, Matt here.
Kilo Oscar 4, Victor November Zulu, Chuck.
Okay, KO4WYX, Matt, and KO4BNZ, Chuck. Thanks for checking in. Looks like it's a very light night tonight. Then, let's see. Out of that list, we had one, two, three, four of us. Four out of the seven people checked in tonight were able to participate in the fox hunt. So that's pretty much the fox hunt crew. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. Rich, I'll turn it over to you. Boy, the rehash of the posting you had for the high HF the propagation that's going on. Go ahead. K1HTV, N7IVV.
Brad, N7IVV, K1HTV. Sorry, I couldn't make the fox hunt, but I had some work to do on the tower with Andy and Terry WHZN, Andy K1RA, on Saturday, so I missed the fox hunt, and I hope to make the next one. I'm on 12 meters right now. It's open Asia. There are JAs right there, or like fleas. You know, there's so many JAs on, called CQ Asia. They keep coming back, so... Mostly JAs, about 15 JAs in the past hour or so, plus a couple of stations in South Korea. 15 has been super today, 12 has been super today. It's heard two Mongolia stations, one this morning on 15 meters, JT1CO I worked before, and JT1BZ I've never worked. I tried working them tonight on 15, but could not do it. Just a lot of folks from Asia on this evening. This afternoon and evening, and 12 is still open. I'm not sure what 10 is doing, but 12 has got is full of JAs. Good propagation. I thought I'd post that just for those who have not tried the upper bands. There's a lot to be worked. I'm comparing them to Yagi, and of course, putting the wire on the spare wires antennas. I'm hearing a lot of stuff on the wires. So if you just have wire antennas, don't be afraid to try it. You might be very surprised what you can work on the higher bands when they're open. Let's see, other than fighting the bug, the sore throat, the bronchitis, whatever it is, I've been not doing too much on the radio, just sitting down with the Android phone and leaning back in the chair and working DX remotely to the shack downstairs. I'm trying to, what else do we have planned? So I have not put up the mini whip antenna, the one that has a preamp and a little plate antenna. Put in a PVC tube, and I plan to pull it up about the 20 or 30 foot level and see how it performs as far as a receiving antenna. John Kexfer had commented on it. It was relatively inexpensively, $15, already built, put in a tube. It has a phantom fed power to it, and supposedly a good receive antenna. It might be a good thought for the guys who are in HOAs that want to hear better. This antenna may be the maybe the answer. Anyway, that's it for now. Back to net control. K1HTV.
Okay, Rich, thank you. Yeah, SC12 is still active. I've been trying to do FT4 all the time, and so the bands oftentimes look pretty dead because not everybody's doing FT4. But when they are, it gets pretty busy. But anyway, yeah, I got Japan, Korea, some South America stations. So let's see if Korea will answer me. All right, KX4KU, Kevin, go ahead.
N7IVV, KX4KU, am I at least readable?
Yeah, you're much better now.
Okay, I just had a couple of things. One thing about the fox hunt, I've been putting together, all I have to do is write the article. I got all the pictures ready. And one thing that made me happy with the fox hunt, even though I wasn't there, was the number of children and the kids that the parents brought along. Looks like they had a good time, and that's just very encouraging for the hobby. The other thing is I put out something on the group.io. I replaced the battery in my laptop today. I mean, yesterday. And then today I went up to my station as normal, and all of a sudden when I got on 15 meters, the PCB just went haywire with the sleep mode. It was transmitted, so it's obviously an RFI problem. But I just never thought a PC battery would be susceptible because nothing else could change. I just plug it into the docking station like I normally do. So the only thing I could think of it was just the new battery. I'll have to go back up. Fortunately, I have the old one still with the old one and see what happens. But that was just strange. That's it. N7IVD, KX, or KQ, back to net.
Okay, Kevin. You know, that's the same thing that I see with that screwdriver antenna, that used screwdriver antenna I've got when I was working on it. It's still got issues. I have not gone back to fix it, but on 21 megahertz, when I would key up, it would make the control block. I've got an automatic control box that I got for it, which was a waste of money at this point because something's wrong with the antenna. But anyway, it would basically cause the control box to shut down, and I would have to reset the thing to get it to come back up. The other frequencies wouldn't do it. Now, what in the world? Now, of course, it never worked, so I can't say that something weird happened between then and when it didn't work. But one thing that, who knows, but you did have another major change there in your operating location. I'm assuming you're at your apartment. And maybe all of that extra ground plane, so to speak, that you had did something bizarre. But, yeah, that sounds like RFI. But, I share my experience with that screwdriver antenna controller as something where I saw 15 meters just caused something to go wacko, and the rest of the frequencies didn't do it. So, never seen a laptop battery do anything like that. That's probably coincidental. Anyway, somebody might have another comment on that. Let me add my 2 cents worth as we go about the fox hunt. There's been a couple of people that have responded to, I guess it was Andy, K1RA, asked how the fox hunt went, specifically because there had been a comment about how, it must have been Bruce that reported back, that for being an easy fox hunt, there were some problems, there were some difficulties. And my experience was, if you all read Garth's posting, most everybody kind of got jammed up at the John Marshall Memorial Park, which was just a little park, and it still is. Hasn't grown any since Saturday. There's only room for 8 cars, and even then, only if you are very careful about how you pull in and pull out, for parking. But everybody seemed convinced, probably because one person stopped there, and everybody else said, oh, must be there, we'll look there. And it was just barely north of the airport. Well, of course, that's not where the fox was located. But, and I don't know exactly why everybody was so convinced it was there, but I left the airport and went quite a ways north. I went clear up to 28. And my first stop, for any of you who know the area, my first stop was in front of that, I believe it's that safety concrete plant. And I just pulled into the entrance, their driveway entrance, just off the road, got out and took a bearing. And the strongest bearing, and there was no question at all as far as where the direction was strongest, was clear back the other direction. It was back, not towards the airport, but, basically the signal that I followed the first time was at 0 degrees, so it was due north of the airport. So that's why I went up there and went over a little bit from where, that would have been, because, of course, you don't want to go on the same leg. You want to go basically at a pseudo-right angle from your first shot. And took the bearing, and it was coming back at 130 degrees, and I looked at that on the map, and it was like, that's out in the middle of nothing. And I know that we're not going to be putting a fox out in the middle of nothing or on private property, so that just didn't make any sense. And and then I went and took another bearing. I guess I must have gone back down the road. No, I didn't. I went back and saw everybody clumped there at the John C. Marshall Park, and stopped in there, squeezed my place into a parking spot, and got out. And I'm thinking, this can't be it, but I took a bearing anyway, and and it seemed to be, well, you know, everybody was wandering around. I thought, okay, they're all here looking at the park. So I actually walked up the road a little bit away from the park, you know, north of the park, which would have given me, if the fox was in the park, then I would have obviously gotten the signal at a right angle from where I was walking. Well, it wasn't. It was back north again. I thought, okay, these poor guys are confused. I'm going back north. So I went back north and stopped at some sort of an agricultural something or other there on whatever it is, 610 or the road that goes to the airport. Not quite to 28. Got out, took another bearing, and still got some bizarre reading. And finally went up to the service station up there at the corner of the road that goes over to Catlett. I guess that's Mace Road, or eventually becomes that. Goes over to Catlett. Gosh, I'd say that every time. Crockett Park. And basically couldn't even hear the silly thing. I dropped out. I mean, I was able to hear it real good on my mobile the whole time, but was losing the signal there. I thought, okay, this is just dumb. So finally got in the car and said, it's got to be farther up here. So anyway, it went up there, and finally everything started screaming up towards Crockett Park, and that's where we finally had success. And this is N7IDV. Well, the only thing that I can deduce from my experience was that I was experiencing reflections, very strong reflections, off the two large structures that I was relatively close to. Now, I was not standing right next to them. I was 50 to 100 yards away from these things, but must have still been getting some sort of strange reflections of the signal coming off of there. Now, that's one thing that people will do on purpose for some of these semi-professional fox hunters. They'll put the foxes in just these horrible locations that they know are going to be subject to reflections all over the place to make it hard on purpose for these guys to find. And, you know, and that's because that's what these guys are looking for, is they don't want the simple stuff. Well, anyway, that's what I figured. That's what threw me as far as finally getting to the general location of the fox was apparently these reflections, and I was getting just really weird reading. So next time, I'm just going to go make sure that I'm not close to much of anything when I take my bearings. And I'd probably, again, take two good right-angle ones, just like Garth said, you know. Anyway, it was fun. KN4SPL, you were there. Tell us your story. Go ahead, man. And this is N7IBB.
Good evening, Brad, and all on the net. This is KN4SPL. Let's see, fox hunt. Yeah, I was one of the ones that ran down the dead end at the first park. Again, I think I was having technical issues of not being a little rusty at getting bearings, and actually it took me a little while actually to even get the radio to in the right situation that I could actually hear the fox. So a little bit of operatoritis, but you know, a little rusty at the fox hunt. So it was a good learning experience. I think the next one in July I will definitely remember some of my mistakes. I chased a ghost with weak signals, and I think I was getting those reflections too, because we were going all over the place with at least the direction. So, but the signal was always weak. Gotta remember, the closer you are to the fox, you gotta use the attenuator to, you know, knock the signal down so you can get a bearing. So, you know, something I'll work on a little bit. The only other thing I want to say, I've been looking at the solar flux today, and there must be something wrong with a hand QSL, because right now it says the solar flux is zero, and all the bands are closed, so I don't really understand, but there must be some kind of technical issues. Besides that, just working a little bit of FT8 on 10 meters, able to get a New Zealand on 10. I think that was a new one for me, so it was fun. That's about all I got. K KN4SPL, back to Matt.
Okay, yeah, they've got a technical glitch on their end. The solar flux is around 160 right now, and obviously the bands are open. So, Korea wouldn't answer me, of course. So we'll try Japan. Yeah, you know, it's I am perfect, the kind of guy that 2 hours before an event decides maybe I better start packing my stuff up. And an hour before, I'm thinking I should test this. When I get there, I'm thinking, gee, I really should have tested that. And I could barely remember even how to use the silly attenuator, but it came back to me here after I was out there for a little bit. But you're right, Bob, you've got to have an attenuator when you get close, because even a teeny tiny little 100 milliwatt signal from a Fox will overload. Well, it's not overloading, but it overwhelms your antenna, even a directional antenna, so that it can't get the direction. You know, basically, it's got so much signal that your radio is picking it up at full scale. Whether you're at right angles, and by the way, right angles is where you're going to get the deepest null on these three-element beams, and it just overwhelms it. So you've got to either have the attenuator or do the third harmonic trick where you tune your radio to the third harmonic of whatever the frequency the Fox is using, and I did not try that. And then if all else fails and you know you're close after doing everything else, then you can try the old, and I believe it's just flat out take the antenna off your radio and use your body to shield the radio from the RF, which, strangely enough, actually works. And I definitely want to experiment with that in July. Well, heck, you know, I can always get the Fox. Maybe I'll have somebody bring one at the next club meeting and we'll experiment there. And that's how John, KX4O, found the Fox. Actually, he and I both found it simultaneously here a year or so ago. And he came in there with just his handheld and cupped his hand over the, you know, over the empty antenna port. And I had my three-element Yagi and the attenuator and were able to locate it. So that was an interesting experience. And then, of course, that's how a number of you guys were doing it. And Chuck, a KO4BNZ, and word to the wise, Chuck, don't leave your attenuator in the car when you get close to the Fox. KN4SPL actually went over and gave him a hand with the that little trick of taking the antenna off, and so he was able to locate it. I was glad to see that. All right, anyway, enough babbling again. KO4WYX, Matt, it was nice to see you there. I'm sorry you couldn't play fox hunting with us, but it was nice to see you off. Go ahead.
KO4WYX. Yeah, it was nice to see you guys out there. I enjoyed, hopefully, the next Fox hunt. I'll try to participate. That's kind of looked pretty cool to me. In fact, I'm already getting ready to start building my own little antenna kit that I saw you guys out there with. So that's kind of on my radar to be prepared for the next one so I can have a little fun with you guys. That's all I got for you guys. Back to Ned.
Okay, sir. Thanks for checking in tonight. And KO4V. Victor November Zulu. Chuck, how are you tonight? Go ahead.
N7IVV, this is KO4BNZ. I, too, had a really good time at the Fox Hunt. And I am guilty of, as it got warmer, I took my jacket off only to realize I had left the attenuator in my jacket as I walked into the park. I learned, that was my very first fox hunt ever, so I learned quite a bit. Since then, I keep thinking of other ways to attenuate my signal. I used all those tricks that people talked about, the third harmonic and removing my antenna. But when I got really close, the thing that pointed it out to me was using that stone mass of the fireplace that was near it. Once I put my HT right up to the side of the fireplace, and I walked around it, and at the spot where there was absolutely no signal, I figured exactly opposite that was where the fox was, and sure enough, that's where that tree was. And I must have walked under or past that two or three times. Anyway, I had a good time, even though I was probably among the very last to find the fox. I haven't done much else this week. I thought I'd remind you all, since a lot of you like to follow radio wave propagation and the sun and all, so you have a little interest in astronomy, that starting Friday, Earth Day, for the rest of the month is International Dark Sky Week, in which people like to celebrate the fact that the skies are dark. So if you want to celebrate, the minimum you could do is just turn off your porch light at night for that week. I don't have much else. I'm looking forward to the breakfast with everyone. And then, although I don't know how much I'll be able to say, I'm getting some surgery on my lip Monday. Other than that, that's all I've got for y'all. I really enjoyed the fox hunt. This is KO4DNZ Clear.
All right. Sorry about the delay there. Hoping my vice president might have picked it up while I had to step away from the mic. Anyway, yes, thanks for that, Chuck. Dark skies. That is not the old soap opera from back in the 60s, I guess, with Barnabas Jones and I forget who all. That was Dark Shadows. The stupid things I remember as a kid. Dark skies is an international organization. And my dad has actually not so much been involved with them as a member, I don't think, but he has produced a number of articles for the area that he lives in East Texas talking about this. And basically they are promoting and struggling to keep the sky visible at night everywhere they can. And of course it's unfortunately a losing proposition, because we keep putting up more lights. People think that they have to have lights everywhere, even if they're not outside and don't need to see. But, you know, if you look at the NASA maps and you know, the real pictures as well as the simulated ones that are actually still coming from the NASA maps, it's really cool to see all the lights on the ground at night. The unfortunate thing is the more lights we have on the ground visible from space, the less we can see the stars at night. And everybody gives SpaceX a hard time about the, you know, the light pollution, if you will, the reverse light pollution of their Starlink constellations. But frankly, it's a bigger problem for all the professional astronomers to find some place on the world that's dark enough to be able to see the sky in areas that they need to without pollution from lights. And of course, Chuck, you mentioned it, so you're going to get me on a roll here. But one of the ways that you can actually measure how dark your sky is with the constellation Orion, which is most visible in the wintertime skies. And there are, I believe, 13 actual stars that are part of that constellation, officially part of the Orion constellation. And, of course, we're all familiar with the big four of the shoulders and the knees, and the three in the belt. And there are, technically it's only two, but anyway, it looks like three stars in the sword. So that's 3, 6, 10. And I guess there's three more. Maybe there's more than 13. Anyway, the point is you can kind of gauge how dark your skies are by how many of those stars in that constellation you can see. And unfortunately, a lot of places can't see any of it. Or they're barely able to see the brightest of the stars. Obviously, the more light pollution you have, the less you can see the really cool stuff in the sky, even with a telescope. And so you have to travel farther and farther away to be able to enjoy that. And then you're going to have to listen to me again with another little soapbox here. Lights at night. People, for years, I mentioned it because you know how I am. I'll talk about pretty much everything. But last August, went down to Meadows of Dan in the middle of no place, virtually. Down on the Blue Ridge, right on the parkway, way down south, Western Virginia. Beautiful little spot, country spot with, I don't know, a bunch of acres. Everybody else had a bunch of acres. And just gorgeous, out away from everything. Go outside at night, and they got this huge, stupid mercury vapor light, dawn to dusk, mercury vapor light. Absolutely destroyed not only the ambiance, but being able to see the stars at all without having to go someplace where I could get that thing blocked out. What is the point of a dawn to dusk light if you're not outside and need to be able to see anything? A lot of people would say it's for security. Well, a light that is on all the time does nothing except show the nefarious people who want to get to your property where the shadows are that they can stick to. You have no way of knowing if there's anybody out there. There's nothing to signal you for that. If somebody's already hiding in the shadows, you're not going to be able to see them because you're looking out at a fully illuminated area. You've got no night vision to begin with. And it's completely useless. Not only that, but it's a waste of electricity, and like I say, it ruins the night sky. There are some municipalities where it's actually illegal to have those things. From all kinds of standpoints, you're much better off with some sort of a motion-sensing light that goes on when it detects motion and goes off when it doesn't. And that means if you need to go out and walk out across your property or out to your trash can or whatever, you know, your light goes on, you can see what you're doing, and goes off after you've left. If somebody comes sneaking up to your house, the light's going to go on, and they're not going to know where it is, and all of a sudden they're illuminated and looking like deer in the headlights. And they don't know if you're looking at them. And all of a sudden, they don't know what kind of hardware, so that, you know, if you know what I mean, you might have in your house. Of course, they don't know whether you're awake or not, paying attention to the fact that the light just came on. The point is, that light is there only when you need it, and not spilling useless light and burning useless electricity all night long. So, my recommendation is, please put up motion sensing lights. Don't just leave your lights on all night long. The dark is nothing to be afraid of. We don't need to keep pushing back the night every time we turn around. Okay, granted, cities are a little bit different, maybe, but those of us out in this part of the country simply don't need to have the lights on all the time. Okay, enough soapbox. It has nothing to do with ham radio, except for the potential RFI from whatever the light devices are. Any other check-ins tonight or rechecks? This is N7IVB.
K1HTV, recheck.
VD8QCF.
KY4OP.
K3FR.
TV7RAB, in and out.
Stand by. Okay, sorry, fingers were just not cooperating for me tonight. Rich, I got your recheck. WDAQCN. Steve, I got you. KY4OP, the man formerly known as KO4IUM. Nick, got you. K3FR and WB7RAV. So, we'll start out with WDAQCN. Go ahead.
Good evening, Brad, and everyone on the net. I heard your comment there about dark shadows, and that gave me a real chuckle. I remember that one, too. That used to crack me up when I was a kid. Crazy thing. And, yeah, sorry I missed the fox hunt there this weekend. It's been ages since I've chased the fox. Used to have a good directional antenna on 2 meters up at the house, and was able to triangulate before I even got in the car, so. Those were the days, but yeah, one of these days I'll get these antennas back up and go have that fun again. But just wanted to jump in and say hello. Other than that, just chasing little DX this week here, hearing Kyrgyzstan on 20 meters right now, so we'll see if I can work that one for a change. That's about it, Brad. Back to you, N7IVV in the net, WD8QUCN.
Okay, Steve, thanks for checking in. Appreciate that. Nick, I'll let you tell the rest of the story of your new call and everything. KY4OP, N7IVV, go ahead.
N7IVV, KY4OP. Yes, so updated to Amateur Extra and rolled the dice on a new sequential call. Came back with Kilo Yankee 4 after Papa, so my call sign's been updated to that. No longer the KO4IUM. Yes, I did that Saturday, first thing morning, and then Bree and I were able to go directly from the test center where I was testing down or over to the airport and start a little bit late on the fox hunt, but we're still able to participate and enjoy that and locate the fox. Our experience, I think, what happened in our case when we took our initial bearing was that the from the airport, at least when we were there, the signal was strong enough from the fox that it was reading S9+ on the S meter, even off of the side lobe of our directional antenna. So our first bearing that we took was actually off by more than 90 degrees as a result of that, and then we took a second bearing and it wasn't lining up, and so then we went and drove a little bit and took a bearing from there at the gas station right at the turn for Crockett Park. So we ended up finding the right location, but you know, it was a great learning experience of not every strong signal on a directional antenna is the strongest signal, and to make sure and at a distance like that to take full 360 and try and find the strongest and the nulls as well to really understand what was going on there. So we were able to find it just fine. It was a lot of fun. Did use the third harmonic as soon as we got to Crockett. Anything on the 2 meter band with the directional antenna was S9. So used the third harmonic and then ended up even having to offset a little bit from that. So I think some of the challenge that was added to it was the fact that fox has got a little bit more power than a lot of other foxes out there. It's a 700 milliwatt fox as opposed to like 15 or 10 or 5. I actually reached out to Bionics to find out if that could be reduced, and their answer was you could change the antenna to a less efficient antenna or place it closer to the ground, but you can't change the setting in it. So overall, great experience, a lot of fun. Thank you for those who put that on. This is KY4 Oscar Papa, back to net.
Okay, sir. Thanks for that report. I was really tickled to see that you and Bree showed up because I didn't expect to see you there. And, of course, Garth and Oscar also showed up, so our two new youngest hams in the club. Probably Oscar is the youngest one in the state, I'll bet, right now, or close to it. There might have been an 8-year-old that got his license here a few months back. Can't remember. Anyway, doesn't matter. Congratulations on the upgrade. I know when I upgraded a couple of years ago, I was scared to death for starters. And, not that it's anything to be afraid of, but, you know, I was just really stressed and passed. So I was really excited about that after having been a general for 25 years or something silly like that. Anyway, K3FR, Ron, what's up, dude? Now, go ahead.
Okay. Not an awful lot. Just wandering around reading and looking at things. But what I did want to do was make a comment on your screwdriver antenna there. I watched when I first got the 7100 here, I was thinking about mobile and the low bands as well. And I watched a YouTube video put out by a M0, I think, and he had a Tar Heel Junior that he was trying to get working and tuning, and one of the problems was he found out he needed additional bonding in the frame and body to get back to his power source for driving the tuner mechanism. It wasn't so much in terms of RFI, but what it was high path resistance in the DC path, the DC or control signal path to the antenna. So just want to pop that one out. Back to you. And 7IVV, K3FR.
Okay, Ron, well, thanks for that info. Yeah, this is a Tar Heel. And I don't have everything bonded, but I did ensure that I had a measurable 0-ohm ground from the antenna mount to the car, because it's a trunk lip mount, and the metal of newer cars today is just not like what it used to be. And frankly, I just didn't like driving those those grub screws clear through the paint into the metal. Besides that, it almost didn't have enough room. I would need a grub screw that's twice the length. So, anyway, and I really haven't been back to test it. I need to take the antenna analyzer out there and do some experimenting with it. So, anyway, thanks for that. But grounding is something that I did. That did definitely hear from people on how to, or that I need to look at that. All righty, Andy, you said you were in and out. So that takes us down to Rich and his recheck. Go ahead, please. K1HTV and 7IVB.
Brad, when I said recheck, I probably should have said the timely information. VK9 November Tango is now on running the Fox Sound mode as the Fox on 24925, Fox Sound mode. FT8 is on Norfolk Island, considered a separate DXCC entity. K4SO just worked them before me, and I worked them right after SO, and he's still there. A lot of people calling, but we were both using tone frequencies around 1700 to 1750 hertz. So if anybody needs to Norfolk Island, and you can get on 12 meters, listen for VK9 November Tango, 24925. This is K1HTV. Back to you, Brad.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that would have been good for you to mention. I certainly would have put you at the top of the recheck list. Let's see. I see other people calling him, but didn't hear him yet, but that's sort of par for the course for me. But, yeah, 24925, and so he's still there, apparently. Thanks for that. Any other check-ins tonight? Last call in 7IVB.
KF4TEK recheck.
Oh, there you go. Crawled out of the woodwork. KF4TEK, Mike, and 7IVB, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to throw out something about fox hunting antennas. Best antennas for fox hunting are not the ones with the most gain. You really want a three-element Yagi that's tuned for a very clean pattern and a very sharp null off the back. maybe 2 years ago when I was building fox hunting antennas, I found an antenna that was designed in that way. And I forget, of course, now where it was, but maybe Groups IO Archives have it. Or if I can find it, I will send it out again. But when you get close and you've got an antenna with a deep null in the back, turn your antenna around and take your bearing with the null. Don't take your bearing with the peak. The peak is much broader than the null, and the null will give you a better bearing. So, glad everybody had fun out there at the Fox Hunt. Sorry I missed it. I was out of town. But we'll be looking towards the next one, and hopefully I'll be around for that. 73 all, KF4TEK back to net.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. If you can dig that up, or if anybody else can, that would be super information. And besides that, sounds like another good antenna project to build at home. So, and or playing with and learning how to use NEC. Can't remember what it is called now, but I've got a couple of versions of the antenna modeling software for any of you who may not know that. Everybody stick around, I guess, after the club. No, that'll be a good one for another WebEx session. That's a good idea. We need to have a hot wash, as they call it, or an after-action report meeting or something with our WebEx now. We'll look into that. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it. Thanks a lot for your participation tonight, and we'll do it again next week. And this is has been the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net, which meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. local time, which I did not say at the beginning of this. But we also have a Sunday night technical services then, and we can talk about fox hunting antennas then, Mike or Steve, whoever's running that one. So we'll see you then. Anyway, stand by. All right, this is N7IVV closing Fairnet. Return the repeater to normal use. Good night and good luck.
K1HTV, this is K4SLO. I wonder if you could please repeat the call sign that I'm looking for.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know. What call sign are you looking for? Yeah, you're looking for Victor Kilo 9 November Tango. VK9NT, and he's at 24.925.
Roger that. Do I set up in Fox mode or Hound mode? Over.
Well, he's Fox Hound, but you're going to be in Hound mode, which is kind of what your program will always put you into.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, I'm all set up in Hound mode, so I appreciate that. Yeah, I tried to jump in tonight, and I guess I got talked over each time. I'm on the mobile instead of, or I'm on the HT instead of the mobile, so I'm not putting out as much power. This is K4SOO listening.
Well, okay, Jim, I'll put you down anyway for the net, so thanks for popping in there now. Good hearing from you. And, you know, when you're checking in, try again. And, you know, one trick that I use, and for anybody else who may still be listening and cares, what I will do, I absolutely despise, and I think it's bad radio etiquette and it's bad public, I mean, it's bad communications practice in general, is do not say this is and then unkey and wait and then key up and say your call. That is just wrong. I'll never win that battle, but that's just the way it is. I mean, you have to go talk to any public service, emergency, military, professional, anybody, and you never would do that. That's just wrong. What I do is I key up and then quickly let go. And that way, I usually, you know, a lot of times you get, it's pretty common for somebody to just literally hit the transmit at the same time as somebody else. But if you let up after just a half a second, if they're there, then you stop. But if they're not, then you key down again and you go ahead and send your call. And that always seems to work for me. And it doesn't take more than, like I say, you know, a half a second or so to do that. So, anyway, that's my tip. Anyway, Jim, nice chatting with you. Good luck on that checking that, finding him. I'm not receiving him. I'm just seeing everybody else calling him. So, anyway, this is N7IVV.
N7IVV, this is K4SO. Well, yeah, thank you for that tip. I'll try that in the future. And same with me. I am receiving him, I'm seeing everybody else, but I am not receiving him. So I'll camp out for a little while and see if conditions change. This is K4SOO listening.
K1HTV. Jim, K4SOO, K1HTV.
K1HTV, this is K4SOO. Good evening, Rich.
I'm not sure if you've ever done Fox Hound before, but it's a must that you must start transmitting above 1,000 hertz, and you need to be running cat control, because as soon as you're heard, your transmit tone will move down to the Fox's frequency. So if you see that jump, the red goalpost all of a sudden jump down, that means you've been copied, it'll say so, in the left side, or actually both sides of both columns. It'll be in red that your call, and it'll be a Roger report. And the final thing is a Roger 73. You will not repeat anything after that. It's a very limited, there are only two messages that you'll be sending. The other ones are grayed out, so you have to start above 1,000 hertz. By the way, your audio is very low, very, very low compared to Brad. Either speak up or crank up the gain on the radio. The mic gain.
QCM?
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at the gain on the radio. I appreciate the information, so I'll go take a look at the settings. And thank you very much for the information, Rich, on the setup for the Foxhound. This is K4SOO listening.
QCN, guys.
Gents, another good one for you. I just discovered Juliet Whiskey Zero X-Ray on 18095. Looks like Foxhound also.
AW Zero X-Ray, got it. 73.
See you, Rich. Hear who else was in there. K1HTV, WD8QCN.
This is W4VA repeater, TL 167.9 Hz,